So nice to have you back.
Nice to be back.
And let's get started with the conflict in Ukraine. And
why not?
How do you find the current state of NATO? Are they getting to the point that the conflict in Ukraine is not anymore, doesn't make sense anymore for them? Or we going to have, because as the British foreign minister, David Lammy, was pointing out that they're thinking of having this conflict on and on, going on to 2026 and beyond. And how, in your opinion, is he really honest in what he's talking about, or?
Well, he may be honest in hindsight. You know, I mean, that is what they plan to do. They never plan to win this war. That's what's so cynical. And it's what actually doesn't require a lot of military expertise, of which they apparently have precious little. But the idea is to keep it going. It's not to win war, it's to fight war and to get the Russians to make their economy collapse, because they're operating on this script that hasn't changed, this idea that, it's Henry Kissinger talking about Allende's government in Chile in 1973, make the economy scream. Right? That's all you have to do, is to have the CIA. You don't even need brigades and all that. You need to kind of out-Bernays them and psyop the thing into something that is not real in physical and tactical terms. And so you can win by just outlasting them and bleeding them, you know, and to a certain extent, I think that at least in the Western narrative, that's what they did in Afghanistan, or that's all the Vietnamese did in Vietnam to the U.S. or something. But I think that's really kind of missing the point on all those levels. And on a deeper level, I don't know. Maybe it's a Western bias. I have too much respect for these guys. Like, I can't believe they actually believe that. That must be just propaganda. He can't. I mean, look at it. Not, I don't mean read the Washington Journal or the Financial Times or the Mirror or any of these other rags. Look at on the ground media. There are mappers all over the place. You get geolocated stuff on YouTube all the time. It's impossible to lie to people with unending cynicism anymore. That is the one good thing that has come out of communications the way they are now. They still control them mostly, so, you know, we're not gonna the people aren't gonna win based solely on that. But you can see that it's just, it's exactly the opposite of what they proposed and what they think is actually happening. You know, Russia is grinding and grinding and grinding them down using, you know, age-old tactics of pincers and outflanking and then setting a cauldron and then moving in another direction, doing it the same way that they have fought wars for 1,000 years. And I don't understand, from one point of view, the hubris of why they thought, maybe they believe their own like racist crap, that these people are subhuman or they're inferior, they're Slavs, that they can't possibly, you know, they work hard, but we know, we Brits and Americans know the how the real ins and outs, but they clearly don't. And I think that they are constantly deceiving their own votership, their own populace in each of these countries. But it certainly is not deceiving the world at large. And I I don't see how it can be deceiving themselves. I just, some part of me, and you know, I may be wrong. Like I keep saying, I'm usually wrong, but I can't imagine, Nima. I can't imagine that they actually believe.
Yeah. What about what's going on right now between Biden and Zelensky? And what do you understand what Zelensky, what is his final goal? And is he looking for some sort of political settlement through these ads? Because every time he's talking with Washington, he's asking for more weapons. But at the end of the day, do you think that he's getting to the point that he understands right now, in your opinion, in his mind and his administration, that they're not capable of continuing the conflict, as you've mentioned? Is that possible, that it's getting to their mind?
I think it has to be. Otherwise, it sounds like complete lunacy. Because I don't, like, he's going to meet with Biden in a few days, and all the observers are predicting that there's going to be this huge eruption in clashes over that time, because they're going to try really hard to look like they're winning or look like they're getting something. And in fact, exactly the opposite is happening. Like I said about the grinding, this thing is just going on, and they are... every single thing is a home run play, or what they call a Hail Mary pass in American football, that it's a last minute throw to end the game. And it's almost like that's all they have in their strategy. They took these territorial brigades trying to set the flanks for protect the flanks from the 72nd Mechanized Brigade. And they were, you know, completely unmotivated. They were collapsed instantly. And so they still haven't withdrawn, but there's no there. And I think the whole thing is like a clown show that they keep imagining. I mean, Zelensky's an actor. So, you know, he was hired by one of the oligarchs to do what he does, and actually understands that he's playing a role. I get that. But it sounds like they can't get outside the play. It's like the government inspector by Gogol, Nikolai Gogol or something. They're all marching around pretending, and they can't. They have to put, oh, this was their idea. Zelensky is asking Biden, hoping that he will lift the restrictions on American weapons, and hoping that he will, it's a crock of complete, you know what? This is a U.S.-NATO war against Russia. It's silly and kind of tiresome to keep trying to avoid having to beat people over the head with that. Like, this is not Zelensky. This is not Ukraine. This has nothing to do with who started. Whose idea was Kursk? Whose idea was this? What are they? And now they're they try all things at once, right? They say, but we're going to let them. What do you mean let them? They can't send any missile more than 50 miles without your satellite guidance and protection. That's you doing that. That's you trying to blow up ammo depots to the west of Moscow, even though Russia has thousands of these ammo depots. It's a pinprick, but it's also a direct assault on a major world nuclear power. It's the stupidest crap you could even believe. And then they back off, but not back off. Say, well, they did that on their own. They were drones. It wasn't a drone. It was a guided missile, and you did the guiding. And well, no, we haven't done. We shouldn't. We can't. As storm shadows, and they're all talking this rubbish ad nauseum, and trying to, I don't know, kick a can down the road that leans to both sides, so it's always going to roll off like down a railroad track or something. Zelensky is nobody. I mean, really, literally, he doesn't exist. He's like, if he is a vampire, if he looked in a mirror, he might not see his own reflection. And even Pinochet got it in the end. And even all of their proxies, all of their Savak agents, all of the Somosas, and have met the sword when they thought they would hang on to that patronage. It doesn't work that way. It has never worked that way. It will never work that way. That is not how the siege of Dianbenfu is going to end. That's not what it ends with, is an American plane flying out of Hanoi with people hanging off the railings of the U.S. embassy, and the same thing 30 years later from Afghanistan, the exact same picture, almost as if they used an overlay and just redid. Oh, wait, note, this is Afghanistan. This is no longer Vietnam. And they don't seem to learn. But one of the reasons they don't seem to learn is they have so much power. And as much as I like talking about it, I realize that I'm just a voice. You know, I mean, they own all the media. They own all their taxes. They have this country mesmerized by this idiot election. Complete waste of time, money, space, false politics, absolute absence of critical thought. It is stunning. It's like I think of George Carlin, you know, rest his soul. And it was such a great comedian and such a great observer of politics, like saying, no, I want a front row seat. this is a shit show, basically. And I'm watching it happen. This is hilarious. This is like material. What are we talking about this week? Who eats dogs? Oh, okay. And is anyone talking about Israel? Is anyone talking about Ukraine in any way that makes any sense at all? No, doesn't matter. And I think that is the final, like the epitaph on what's happening now, that the Brits can't acknowledge, the Americans can't acknowledge. Americans can't even think straight, so there's nothing for them to acknowledge. But here it is. America doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. It is completely irrelevant to any of this. And of course, I sound like I'm tripping on myself because I just said how much power they have. But there are limits to reality. You can't just keep creating reality. You know, de-dollarization is happening. It's really happening. Everybody applying to BRICS is really happening. The One Belt, One Road initiative is really happening. The collusion or cooperation between this, the new axis, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, or the triad of, you know, China, Russia, Iran, is happening. The reshaping of oil powers in Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, like these are all real things. And it may be slow or seem something at the time, you know, right now, but it is something that is eventually cataclysmic. That's how change happens. It goes a little bit, and then boom, like an earthquake, like a volcano, like any organic natural phenomenon, change is immediate and huge. And then you have to have that equilibrium that stabilizes for, who knows, maybe 100 years, but you have a quick cliff fall. And that, I think, is, it's like the mega tsunami from Las Palmas, you know, that's going to wipe out the entire east coast of the United States, either tomorrow or 20,000 years from now. You know, well, we can't really say, but you know, it is not a You know, Darwin was wrong about that slow incremental change. That's not really how it happens. It, you know, all change. You're looking for those missing links when really it's gonna hit like a ton of bricks. And I think we're seeing the ingredients for that, not a timeline. I'm not a predictor. You know, I can bake the cake. You know, I can say this is what goes into this. That's what happens is the hegemon loses control. The fall of Rome, the British Empire, all these terrible cakes that were overbaked and destined to decline. But I can't say, first of all, that decline won't be disastrous and for a lot of us, but it will be precipitous. You know, that's just my opinion.
Yeah. In your opinion right now, one of the points that we know that definitely they're going to talk about it, Zelensky and Biden, would be this in Zelensky's victory plan, and as he calls it.
I love that, isn't it? It's like Edward Bernays wrote this whole thing, like it's public relations victory. Remember Henry Kissinger talking about winning the peace in Vietnam. He went to Paris to win the peace. Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
The point here is that he's talking about an invitation coming from the United States to Ukraine, inviting them to be part of NATO. How do you see right now Biden's final days in his position, in his power? Do you think that he's going to give them as a gift? It doesn't make any sort of commitment on his part, but how do you see his behavior?
See, again, I don't recognize any change in power. I don't recognize anyone's final days. These guys now, I wrote a piece, I don't know, a couple of years ago. So all U.S. presidents are war criminals. Like let's not pick and choose here. And they're lined up like clerks at a Walmart. Just I'm on cashier 15, and I'm going to 16, and then I'm going to 17. Like they have all done the right thing, and the right thing is what they're told in a room with no one else listening, and their job is to do it. And so Biden is just continuing playing the game. I think he's making fewer decisions than Woodrow Wilson when his wife was running the country for like a year and a half. You know, there's nothing, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. What I do think is important is who's doing it, who has the power, what are they doing? And that, I think, can only sputter at the end of someone's rubber yes stamp, which is why they are pushing so hard for Kamala Harris. They want a Manchurian candidate to beat the band. They want something. They grew in a petri dish at the DNC, ready to just unleash this on the world and do what? Do nothing. Do the same. Do the continue. Make an unbroken continuation of these evil policies, because what they need is someone who can convince the American, what would we say, electorate? Press, you know, you don't even know who you're talking about anymore. Who is who? You know, who has the power? Who are the Americans? Who are you trying to convince? They want to, this is what I mean then. They want to be able to keep saying that she represents the voice of the people, that this system represents the triumph of democracy, and the president is the talking head of 300 million people. And that's how we are morally capable of continuing as the hegemon, continuing as the arch imperialists as the creator of the apartheid state, the creator of the concentration camp, of enslaving and hybridizing slash ethnically cleansing an entire continent, like all of these things that Americans don't even, you know, acknowledge or teach in school, but they that's the ongoing thing, and that's the system that has to be protected. And whether it's Biden in doing what he does with Zelensky on Thursday, or whether Harris will continue to do the same thing, or Trump. I mean, you know, the thing about Trump is that he is a disruptor of whatever that means. I mean that in like the clinical sense, you know, that's why they're afraid of him. That's why people like him. I can't imagine I've ever agreed with more than 1% of what he says, but it is an interruption in that continuum, which means maybe lifting the switch and not letting the train barrel on in its own predictable journey. And that means what happens with Ukraine? What happens? But listen, Nima, they don't know themselves. It's almost like I said, that's why I use the Walmart analogy, because they're just unloading carts and loading them back up. And you can't even, it's not really about thinking outside the box or critical thinking. It's a lot of times it's about thinking at all. Like you walk into this factory where all these people, what are you doing? What are you putting together? Just these big long things that have points on the end. And, you know, if you light one end of them, they go like thousands of miles and they blow shit up like you wouldn't believe. Why? Why? I don't understand. And he's one of those. He doesn't understand. You know, if you openly think you're like brandished as an outsider, and that's what's going on in the full society, not just, that's why people will accuse me of babbling. But I think if you start talking about Ukraine and Zelensky and Biden, you're talking about all these things, including the plasticity of the American mind, how it is corrupted from birth. When, you know, you're starting having these kids in the toy store, you go down the pink aisle for girls and up the ride 'em, tank toys for boys. And that is how that you can't say that is not cultural training. It's not just semiotics. These are things that they are going to take and shoot down things in their own backyard, pretending, of course, and grow into the soldiers of empire. It doesn't just happen from nowhere.
Yeah. We had a meeting between Starmer and Joe Biden in which it seems that Pentagon is getting more serious in terms of the foreign policy, especially in Ukraine. Do you think right now Pentagon is in charge of what's going on in Ukraine, or what would be the policy in Ukraine in the near future, or is it still in the hands of Anthony Blinken and Jake Sullivan?
That is, you know, like reading tea leaves or the eight ball, you shake it and it says, ask again, or signs point to yes. There's always been this rift between the CIA part of the ruling class lever pullers and the Pentagon. You had this with Albright and Colin Powell with that famous clash where she said, well, where is this unbeatable army you're always talking about? And he was like, alive. Like what? I mean, and you always have that response, or that the narrative of that response. I wasn't in any of these meetings, so I only know the kind of the cartoon version, but that is what is known is that the Pentagon cares a little bit more about soldiers and about physical boots on the ground, that that's like, wait a minute, this is war. This is how it happens. It isn't something. It isn't a psyop. It isn't something coined by Edward Bernays. You know, the reason I keep mentioning him is this is Freud's nephew who ran, it was considered to be the father of public relations. You know, how do you get women to smoke? By running this thing called in the 20s, I guess, was that cigarettes were torches of freedom, right? That you're tapping into this feminist independence to give them cancer and ruin their lives forever, right? You know, but you look at this. We could double our revenue if we could get women to smoke as much as men. If it wasn't unladylike, hell with that. It's my making a choice. And okay, why is that relevant? You know, because that is the American eternal psyop, how to make things look like they aren't and how to accept them, how to get us to accept 2 + 2 = 5 or whatever you want it to be. And so when the Pentagon is, for me, that sounds like our people taking war seriously, not who's winning in this kind of, you know, arm wrestling match. I think it's that this is tiresome and obviously an enormous misguided failure. And that's not, again, not just Ukraine. The whole concept, like we've been talking about for a few weeks now, the kind of overarching importance of political meaning, you know, that is what is makes all the policy. And there's an end to that. And one of the ends is failure. Like, wait a minute, we really should be talking about how we can make this work. But see, the reason it's not that I think, I'm not trying to be flip. I don't think it's a stupid to talk about it, but we really are like in Plato's cave, still looking at the shadows on the wall. There's really neither one is a winning bet. Okay, if the Pentagon side wins out, then why are your Abrams and Challenger, you know, why are they all getting blown up like with the snap of fingers? And why are the Patriots blowing up themselves? And none of it works on the classic, you know, combined arms conflict level, let alone it certainly has worked. The CIA is doing quite well. You know, they have this fake election running in on all channels. Nobody is second guessing anything. I am obviously, and you know, all the people I respect are, but most people have no clue. They have not won the world. The world is now sick of it. And I've been saying this for years, and I think, again, it's an ongoing thing, but I think to the extent that they control public opinion, that they control the PSYOP, it is only for domestic consumption, that the outside of, particularly outside of the West, they might as well be talking to themselves. They're telling lies, they're blowing up, they're saying things that are obviously untrue, and they're doing things that are malevolent and continual. And people are kind of, the first thing is, like people scratching their heads. But that's what you did with Nicaragua, though. How do you, well, we are Nicaragua. Well, that's what you did in Iran. Well, how do you, well, because we are Iran. We did, you know, we've been facing this for 100 years. So we are, and now there's an alternative. We won't get killed if we don't listen to your dollar jingle play. Well, guess what, guys? I'm making a different choice. And that is, that drives panic in the ruling class of the Western elites. Uh-oh. I lost your...
Can you hear me right now? Okay.
They shut us off again. See? Don't come. You know what? Another saying, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
And since this conflict started, we've seen that Russians were always willing to negotiate and finding some sort of political settlement. But right now, it seems that they're getting away from this concept to get any sort of solution through negotiations. Do you find it right now it's getting much more difficult to negotiate? Or do you see the same type of mindset on the part of Russians? They're willing to do it. Because recently, Maria Zakharova, she was talking about that they would not negotiate with Zelensky and anybody from Ukraine.
Zakharova is like really smart. I love how she comes onto the microphone in English and says things that are just hilarious. But it's a Russian sense of humor that I find particularly compelling. Lavrov comes out and says the same thing. So does Medvedev. They are all, and I wouldn't agree that, I wouldn't say that they've changed their mindset or their outlook at all. The problem is that it has stayed the same. The whole thing was a collapse of negotiations. And this is 1990. This is the structure of this post-Soviet state where you have this definite and obvious split within the polity, within the body politic, and it goes back and forth in 60-40, 55-45, that there is this enormous division that has to be carefully orchestrated and planned and kind of worked out carefully. And instead, the CIA, which started with its Gladio kind of leave behind operation, and pushed and pushed and pushed for outright fascists and the Banderites who are trying to destroy Russian language, culture, religion, and posit this fake history in its place and push an entire country of people to adopt it. This is like Bernays on steroids. And that can't work in the long run. It can work in the short run, which is the thing that always happens. So you have this fake, orange revolutions, it's a color revolution things cooked up in Langley. And then you have a tipping point between the sides. And then you have the coup and the continual push, spending billions of dollars to make this an enemy of Russia. And Russia tried for years with treaties, with negotiations, with all this negotiating, all the Minsk I and Minsk II, and even before that, about how things were handled, about, no NATO, no EU, no, just let's keep this kind of on the hush-hush for now, we'll see. But not to push it, to escalate it to the point of deadly conflict. And once it's like bending something until it snaps. And you can be bent and bent and bent and bent and say, all right, well, we'll see. Well, let's try Minsk too. snap. Like, so you guys were lying the whole time? The West cooked up these things and were just using them to gain time. And you have Merkel and Schultz. I don't know if Schultz admitted it, but Merkel did. And that this was fake and that you were just using it to buy time, that they used all of that time to dig these. They basically re-cemented the entire eastern area of Ukraine that is now the front line. They might as well have just gotten an enormous cement mixer and poured in a big line, you know, of 10 feet worth of dry cement all over there to act as the bulwark and basically colonize. We have to be honest. I know it's a weird thing. Well, Russia's a big country. It invaded a small country. And that's if we keep using these terms, then everyone will understand our narrative and we'll win. And they did. They did for a year, I think. They basically forced the entire Western. I mean, they ruined their economies. They forced all the sanctions. They did all this stuff. But it didn't work. The sanctions, because Russians didn't. They didn't change their mindset. That is what I keep saying. They did not. They just kept doing what they were doing. Like, all right, well then, and to Istanbul. They had it all set up. And Zelensky was going to go along with it. The Americans swooped in and demanded that it cease. And that was the end, I think, for, okay, well then this negotiation isn't going to work. Each time they say, so first of all, what do you mean negotiate with Zelensky? First of all, he's not a public figure, isn't he? He has no right to be president in Ukraine because as of May, he just usurped power without an election, you know? So he's not calling the shots. It's not a war with Zelensky. It's not even a war with Ukraine. If we negotiate, we will negotiate with the people running the war. These are the people who used Minsk 1 and 2 as the waiting game. Like I said, that would be NATO and the United States. That's who we'll have to talk to. And what they see, like, you know, Native Americans. There's no treaties with these people. They might as well use treaties with toilet paper so they can wipe their ass with it afterwards because it means exactly the same thing to them. There are no treaties that are permanent, that make any sense, that they're allowed to have to be held to. And so the Russians gave up. And they said, well, you know what? We're not giving up on what we believe, but this is going to be the outcome. Not whatever you pretend to give us. We'll just do it ourselves. And that is what is happening. I don't think that they are against negotiations. It's that the West has made the concept of negotiating so cynical and so hollow and meaningless that only someone who's not in their right mind would negotiate with that because they're an intensely practical group of people, to be honest. I don't want to be generalized and, you know, make broad brush cultural accusations, but that's how Russians are. You say the good luck in Russian is ni puha ni pera, which is neither down nor feathers, like a bird hunter, like, you know what, I hope you catch nothing, and that means good luck. And the answer is k chortu, which is I go to hell. And that is the polite and respectful way of responding to that wish of luck. And it makes sense in terms of many things that they do. And the West refuses to try to understand, just like they always do. It's like, well, first of all, sociopaths understand by accusing you of the very crimes that they are currently committing. This is true in a psychological sense. Everybody understands this through, if only through movies, you know, or dealing with real sociopaths. But it's also true of classes that I would consider sociopathic, like the people currently in charge running the United States. They're always accusing of the crimes that they're currently committing. And so it's like massive gaslighting. You have no idea. Why are you talking to me like that? You're the one who started this. And there's no way of separating that from the reality. You know, so where do you get off that train? And like I said, it bends until it breaks. You eventually get off. And that is the thing I really believe. Like I said, we don't have time. You know, I don't have a calendar or anything, but I really believe that that is happening, that we're getting off that train. We meaning the thinking people of the world. Those of us living in the belly of the beast have a long way to go and a lot to suffer from, because Russia has made no bones about it, and China has made no bones about where it stands in with respect to Russia. They're not bluffing when they say, if you're gonna have these people to have them use, which means you use guided missiles to reach inside Russia, you're asking for an escalation you don't even seem to understand. There are U.S. bases in the Mediterranean. There are U.S. bases everywhere. There are people who have a grievance against the United States that it would be very easy to say, if you were Ansarullah, you know, provide guidance like you're providing. We'll provide guidance. How about that? And then, you know, a hypersonic, not ballistic, not cruise, not that wasn't the catch-all. The real thing was hypersonic. That I, you know, again, how do we know? But that was a Russian missile or Russian guidance, you know. And so that's they are not changing course. There's no reason that they should. There's no timeline for them. I mean, Americans talk about what they're going to do in terms of the election, in terms of negotiations. What is it? You know, because language is the only reality that they observe. Language is not a substitute for reality. And they don't seem to recognize that. And so they can keep talking. And the Russians will say, like, okay, yeah, well, keep, go on. I get a few things to do. So, you keep talking. Go ahead. Have fun. Ni puka ni pira. Or just say k'chortu at the end of it.
Thank you so much, Dan, for being with us today. Great pleasure to talk with you.
It was nice. Well, I look forward to seeing you again. Hang in there. Okay. Buon
noite. Buon noite.